Good evening, everyone, and welcome. The first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes of the council held on 20th of July 2021, as published on the council's website. Does anyone move to approve that? Jeff Carrick?
Aye.
Item two, apologies for absence.
One apology, Mr. Mayor, from Councillor Green.
Thank you.
Could I offer Councillor Whitlock's apology, Mr. Mayor? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Whitlock's next.
Are there any declarations of interest? I have some announcements. The 110th anniversary of the opening of Victoria Park on Saturday the 11th of September. I was pleased to attend the park to mark this anniversary. And I also enjoyed taking part in the Mayor's team against the Borough Council officers in the Crown Bowls match. The officers did win it. They also scored.
That's good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And thank all of those who attended. And again, for the Battle of Britain commemoration and freedom parade by the Tactical Supply Wing on Sunday the 12th, my thanks go out to all those who supported this event. We now move on to public question time. But before we do, I need to explain that the Constitution allows 15 minutes for public questions, and there are 8 on the agenda. Any questions not dealt with will be answered in writing. The time will begin when the first question has been asked. And the first question is from Maureen Walcott.
Questions. Would it be permissible for me to say that my question is number 4 on the agenda?
I have it as number 3, the first one on the agenda.
Yes. They're in the order they were received, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, they're in the order received.
So you want me to read the question?
Which, yes.
Does the council accept that the environment is a serious concern to all of us, regardless of political affiliation, and that needs to work cross-party on implementing its climate change and green recovery strategy? If so, how has the council so far worked on the strategy on a cross-party basis?
Would Councillor Price care to answer?
Thank you. I am happy to go through all of the questions, but if there are any responses to any questions or supplementary questions, then I certainly would want to respond to those in writing. I just think that would be the fairest thing to do. So, but I'll see your discretion, Mr. Mayor. So the response to question 1, which is the question that Maureen Walcott has raised. The strategy was subject to a consultation and was agreed by members of the full council. Over the next 6 months, officers will be moving forward on objective 2 of the strategy, which is to work in partnership with communities and elected members, and part of that work will be to develop a climate change pledge, which we will all be requesting members and communities to sign up to. There will also be an opportunity for all members to engage with carbon literacy training, which is being developed. And progress on climate change is reported on a quarterly basis to scrutiny committee, and this provides opportunities for members to scrutinise performance and also an annual report to submit to full council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do you require any clarification on that?
I just wonder if there are any examples of times when you have worked together on the green strategy. Are there any definite projects that you are working on or have worked on?
That's a supplementary question. I will respond to that in writing.
Very good. The next question is from Alan Alcock.
It's good that the council is developing a tree planting strategy. When will the strategy be published? How many trees will be planted? And will you be working to engage the people of Stafford and planting these trees?
Is that the strategic planning and placemaking team, formerly known as Forward Planning, will consider policies including those related to trees through the new local plan process and will lead on the production of tree strategy for the council with input from suitable qualified horticulturalists. The new local plan is currently scheduled for adoption in October 2022 before policy requirements can be applied to new developments through the planning application process. The council is responsible for a number of trees in the borough and our operations service already has a maintenance plan for its existing tree stock. In addition to this, the council is currently investigating options for removing carbon from our atmosphere, carbon sequestration, for example by planting more trees, and we will be working with landowners in relationship to this. We've already reported that additional tree planting will take place on the newly designed local nature reserve at Fairway.
Mr. Alcock, do you require any further clarification in writing?
I just wonder whether there's any intent to take leave from Derry to Millennium Park together with the common here in Stafford. There is a rather boring piece of field. Could they work with the boroughs of Stafford Common to create something like Derrington have done in the Millennium Field?
Again, I don't mean to sound dismissive, and I've visited Derrington, but I will reply to that as well, writing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Netta Cartwright, you have a question?
Regarding paragraphs 212 and 214, the climate change and green recovery report cabinet on 5th of August 2021. How is the council going to deliver these important strategies by engaging with the wider public, private sector, young people of different age groups, and specific groups like Stafford's There Is No Plan B, which I belong to? How can the council further build on the Eco Schools network and There Is No Plan B, that together have been running eco workshops on environmental issues in schools since 2010 for the There Is No Plan B annual Stafford Youth Arts Festival at St. Chad's Church?
Thank you for the question. Yeah. We've already mentioned that officers will be concentrating on objective two of the strategy over the next 6 months. The council has supported There Is No Plan B for a number of years now and has provided a small amount of funding towards their annual event every year. The Mayor has also attended these events. The Eco School Network has been running virtually over the past 18 months and are actively encouraged to share best practice between each other about environmental issues and projects they have or are planning to implement.
Is there any supplementary question you have to wish a written reply to?
Just wondering when you have a working group
meeting
with the community,
again, I'll respond to that in writing, but I think there is mention further on in some of these questions about where we will do to work with community groups.
Thank you, Councillor Price. James Greenhall.
In this subject, cabinet meeting of 25th August 2021, Councillor Price mentions milestone reference 232 on page 101 of the agenda of that meeting. This milestone states that small panel of community representatives set up to support formulation and delivery of community-based initiatives. Can Councillor Price tell me, please, what progress has been made so far in the setting up of that panel, and what criteria the Council has already used will be used in determining which community members will be selected as representatives on that panel?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Greenhall, and that does sort of touch as well on the previous question that was asked. An advert has been drawn up and will be issued on our website as a press release. This will be distributed to traditional media and via council social media channels once it has been agreed. This will outline what we're looking for and would invite anyone who is interested in joining the panel to submit an expression of interest. Thank you.
Do you require any clarification on that?
Yes, can I say it will be done. Is there any proposed date on which it will be done?
Mr. Mayor, for considering the time constraints, we have our response to that tonight.
Janet Hastingham.
Why is an established woodland area opposite to the proposed LMR not included in this proposal? The land is full of wildlife and is a foraging ground of badgers who live in the grounds of street scene and also home to foxes. This land is unsuitable for building as it floods, and residents believe that there is a covenant on this land.
Thank you, Mrs. Hasselhoff. The land referred to was not available to be included as part of our proposed local nature reserve, as its potential future use is part of a current corporate review of the council's assets and potential enhancements that can be made to serve the provision. The land is registered to the council, and there are absolutely no covenants registered against this title.
Do you require any clarification on that? No. Mr. Steinman Mountford.
What measures are going to be put in place to enable access to LMR for those with mobility issues, and how will the issues of truck driving be addressed, especially since the capital is in the fields?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mountford, and a really good question as well. The Saville Brooks funding application does include plans for better access to our local nature reserve, including those with mobility issues. However, it should be recognised that most of the site is within floodplain, and that flooding could make access difficult. After consulting with the grazier, there are currently no issues with dog fouling. If an adverse situation does develop, then it can be addressed through the appropriate signage, and obviously with the provision of dog fouling as well.
Do you require any clarification on that, Mr. Mann? Ms. Claire Bacon.
Good evening. What action will be taken to remove to unblock the river of fallen trees? And how does the council propose to remove the Himalayan balsam and control its future growth?
Thank you, Ms. Baker. I appreciate the question. A management plan for the new LMR is currently being prepared. An assessment of the different habitats found on the site will look at how management can best be carried out to provide the optimum conditions for wildlife. Tree and shrub management will be included within this plan, and any invasive plants will be recorded and the strategy prepared so that we can control those.
Do you require any clarification on that, Mr.
Yes, because the Himalayan balsam does get out of control quite easily, and it would be nice to know how much you're going to, you know, remove.
I'll make sure that I'll respond to that in writing as well.
Thank you, to the council. And Ms. Diana Smith.
How does the council intend that this project will be managed, and what plans are there for informing and involving the public?
As I stated earlier, thank you for the question, new local nature reserves being prepared. Many of the objectives for the site are long term and for at least a 10-year development phase. Once completed, the management plan will be posted on the council's website, and an information site will also be installed at the site entrance. There is a lot of interest in the area from existing community groups, the development of new housing estate and other organisations. Volunteer work parties will also be arranged through our links with the Staffordshire Wildlife Trust in due course.
Do you require any clarification on that? Well, we assume we've got through all of those questions within the allowed time. So we now move on to item 6 on the agenda, which is the council, excuse me, the council session. I've got on Councillor Pearce.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor. Is it correct that the meeting of the cabinet on the 5th of August, the leader of the council described the meeting as having been well publicised? And if so, does he on reflection believe that to be an exaggeration? Is there any publicity that's on the council website?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody. Well, firstly, I'm flattered that it took six councillors to commune to ask a relatively straightforward question, but certainly I can answer as follows. Yes, it's correct. I made that statement at the cabinet meeting on the 5th of August, and it's not correct to say that the only publicity was that on the council website. So let me go through the list of items and the chronology. All councillors of all colours received an email on the 28th of May setting out the cabinet and committee schedules for the following year. So that was the first occasion when that cabinet meeting and, of course, all the other cabinet meetings were first within the arena of councillor understanding and know-how. On the 26th of July, a press release was issued and on our website, climate change work in Stafford was to be discussed. On the 30th of July, In Your Area website carried a story about climate change plans being discussed by Cabinet. On the 30th of July, the Stafford Council Facebook account also published information in relation to the climate change report and the Cabinet's agenda. And similarly, on the same date, the SBC Twitter account gave that information. On the 3rd of August, there was a press release issued and on the website too, in relation to the Nature Reserve, with a link to the Cabinet meeting. On the 4th of August, In Your Area website carried a story about the local Nature Reserve with a link to the Cabinet page. And on the same date, the 4th of August, Staffordshire Council's Facebook account also carried that information. On the 4th of August, Staffordshire Council's Twitter account published the Local Nature Reserve and Links press release, which in turn links to the Cabinet meeting. And on the 4th of August, our newsletter carried a front page story about the Local Nature Reserve, which of course is a key part of climate change. And our agenda, and it mentioned the cabinet meeting to take place on the following day. The cabinet meeting for Thursday the 5th of August was publicised in all of those different ways, and of course it would be crass of me to suggest for the moment that none of the opposition councillors deigned to look at the agenda in advance, because that would be a silly suggestion to make, would it not? In addition to that, it is true to say that the date and time of the cabinet meeting was publicised on our website. The agenda is available to the public 7 days before, and people can subscribe to that page so that they will receive notifications. But of course, as councillors, you wouldn't need to subscribe because you would already have that information well in advance. That's my answer, Mr. Mayor, to that question.
Does anyone else like to speak on this? The next
Good evening and thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question is, of course, to the Leader of the Council, and I'm asking, in light of the increasing evidence of dramatic global warming, can the Leader of the Council explain his administration's stubborn insistence of a carbon neutrality target of 2040? And my reason for asking this question, Mr. Mayor, is that when we look at the number in the Cabinet, we have 6 members in the Cabinet. And of those 6 members, 3 are county councillors. They are members of Staffordshire County Council. Staffordshire County Council, they have set a date of 2030. And I can't understand why the Cabinet of Staffordshire Council, where half of them are with the county council and voting with the county council, are stubbornly sticking to 2040. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, firstly, let's be clear that this administration is fully committed to achieving its net zero target by 2040. And on the agenda this evening, following on from the well-publicised cabinet meeting on the 5th of August, we have an item to deal with those matters. The Council has already stated on numerous occasions how it has conducted and followed research that recommends efforts to reduce carbon emissions. It's clear from the report that we're going to hear later this evening that the starting point is that the Council should start on its own operations much larger authorities recommend as an approach. About 75% of local authorities have declared a climate emergency, and of course Staffordshire Council is amongst those, and about 4/5 of those who have declared a climate emergency have a plan. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report strengthens the assessment set out in their specially prepared report that reaching net zero emissions by the middle of the century, i.e. 2050, would limit global warming. And so, as a local authority, in line with probably the majority of those that have published a plan, the priority is to start cutting emissions as soon as possible, rather than to worry about eliminating them altogether. Mr. Mayor, I just want to run through a list that I got earlier today in relation to countries which have either published as a submission or stated as a statement of intent the year in which they as a nation propose to achieve the net carbon zero status. But before I do that, just in passing, I want to point out that in December 2019, the European Council endorsed, in line with the Paris Agreement, that the EU climate neutral position should be achieved by 2050. And so I'll just pick out a few, because it's a long list. Andorra, small nation, 2050. Argentina, 2050. Australia 2050 to 2100, Austria 2040, Brazil 2060, China 2060, Croatia 2050. I'll go down the list: France 2050, Hungary 2050, Germany 2045, Japan 2050, New Zealand 2050, and so on. And I understand that the current UK position is to achieve that by 2050. And so as a tiny speck, a pinhead in the context of its ability to influence climate change, Staffordshire Council, as I said, has decided, quite probably I think, to concentrate on how it can reduce its own emissions through taking the action and through proposing, as again we'll hear later, some methods chances of achieving that target. What I would say is that I'm not clear if other organisations have been approached in this way to be questioned about dates and targets and so on, but I do want to reiterate, this council, this group is fully committed to the climate change agenda, hence the considerable amount of work that has been conducted to date and is ongoing. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
I'll have Councillor Price to indicate the
Mr. Mayor, supplementary questions.
Oh, I don't think for Viva now.
Oh, sorry.
Supplementary questions, have we any? Councillor Pedersi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Shame on this administration for comparing carbon neutrality targets for countries like China, which contain a third of the world's population. And what about the list where the target...
Councillor Pedersi, it needs to be a question, I'm sorry.
Would the leader agree that maybe countries like China would reach their target sooner if we stopped exporting our manufacturing jobs to them, and then expecting them, and then turning to them and saying, "That's terrible. Look at all that pollution." I think it's disgusting. Where is the list for the countries that are meeting that target sooner?
Question, Mr. Mayor. Do you want to respond to that question, Director?
Absolutely respond, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, regrettably, although my influence is great, I cannot influence the manner in which our national government conducts its trade relations with China. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Point of order, point of order from Councillor Cross.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something, if I may. I think Councillor Lockhart.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Point of order. That is not a point of order, that is a point of clarification, which is quite different. If it's a point of order, then the Councillor has to say which part of the Constitution he's referring to in his point of order.
Mr. Mayor, there's nothing in the rules that allows a point of clarification. It's a point of order if you believe that the procedure hasn't been followed or you need to query the procedure.
Give the microphone.
Is there any further questions at the moment?
Am I able to ask a question?
Your question to the leader, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Winnington.
I think Councillor Price wants to ask a question, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Price, do this.
I would like somebody, and I don't know who will answer this question, and as a county councillor myself, I'm fully aware of whether the climate change date is established county council, and the date that you was quoted earlier was incorrect, and not by council or leader, but actually by Councillor Lockhart. I unfortunately can't ask for clarification on that, only to say that she's incorrect.
Councillor Williams.
Thank you. Question for the Cabinet. Is the Cabinet aware that Suffolk County Council has actually published its draft Climate Change Action Plan, which is due to be reviewed by a Corporate Overview and Scrutiny Committee prior to sign off by Cabinet in October 2021? And this document outlines how the Council aims to ensure progress is made towards the nationally set zero target of 2050, not 2040, as
has been
mentioned.
Do you wish to respond, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am now aware that the County Council's published date is 2050 and not 2030. Thank you.
I have Councillor Godfrey next.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask the leader of the council if they need things to announce and engage the council on for moving widely welcomed by people under 35. We go in to give ourselves targets because they're hard, not easy. And we should give ourselves the hardest targets possible when it comes to climate change. We have generations behind us that are looking to us to look after them and their future. And I think the answer that you gave, Councillor Famington, was not with you. Councillor Godfrey is entitled to his opinion. Regrettably, as I said, I think at least twice now this evening, my remit does not extend to conducting and stating the policy of our nations across the world. I made a point on a number of occasions this evening of saying that this group is fully committed to the climate change agenda and is concentrating on reducing its own carbon emissions in line with the report that we will discuss later. I think that's an adequate answer, Mr. Mayor. I would also say, actually, that the date or dates that have been published by many different organisations are, quite frankly, academic ones, and it's about action and implementing policies, which is what this group is doing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Loughran, did you indicate something here? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Moving on then, Councillor Godfrey was committed to a question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I shall shout my questions as set out in the agenda. Thank you.
Who would like to respond to this?
It is the leader of the council, Mr. Mayor.
Can you just bear with me while I find the next set of notes, would you please? Thank you, Councillor Godfrey, for your question. Firstly, of course, as I said on a number of occasions this evening, one of the agenda items is indeed the draft climate change and green agenda. Given that part of Councillor Godfrey's question referred to inclusion of the community, I wish to rely on answers given by Councillor Price to the public question time, particularly his answers to questions 5A, 5C and 5D, in which he gave quite a number of examples of how community are involved and to be involved. But in addition to that, that I suppose Stephen Councillor Price is still in relation to the item later on. Of course, if Councillor Godfrey had read the decision of Cabinet on the 5th of August, he would have seen the response to much of what he asks. And so for the past 6 months, the council have been working in partnership with Kew University, Centre for Alternative Technology and local authorities across Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent, with a view to taking a collaborative problem-solving systematic approach and to experiment, learn and make sense of what is required in order for us to achieve our vision of carbon neutrality. In addition to this, around lifting from the report that we'll discuss later on, which Councillor Price has already alluded to, the work's underway to set up a small panel of community representatives to work with us to support the development of the Climate Change Pledge and information packs to residents in line with the Sustainable Staffordshire Initiative. Our Chief Executive and Corporate Business Partnership Manager have met with members of other community groups, including Sustainability Matters. And again, Councillor Price referred earlier, and again referred to in the report published by the Cabinet on the 5th of August, that well-publicised meeting, that the proposal will be to involve all members in a programme towards understanding carbon neutrality. And as I said earlier, I do rely on quite a large number of items of information given by Councillor Price earlier, which I don't intend to repeat. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the answer, Leader of the Council. It seems quite evident from the questions we've had already from public question time that this Council hasn't been communicating, or this administration has not been communicating with local groups in Stafford, Stafford Borough. It's quite evident by the questions that we've had. So, part of your answer is probably correct, Leader of the Council, but part of it isn't. There's a lot of groups that aren't being consulted, and they need to be. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does anyone else wish to speak?
Mr. Mayor, I rise because I'm not clear if that was a question, which is the purpose of a response from any member in the chamber. But of course, Councillor Godfrey and I would disagree. I gave my answer quite fully, as he asked me to do. I believe he said, would I give an answer in detail, which I did, supplemented by Councillor Price. And I beg to differ with his opinion, and perhaps we'll leave it at that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
If there's no one else, then moving on, Councillor Podesi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Leader of the Council has publicly stated that opposition groups are not as interested as they make out in Stafford Borough Council's climate change strategy. How serious is this administration in being inclusive of them when no effort was made to involve Littlewood Borough Councillors in plans to declare a local nature reserve in their ward?
Mr. Mayor, before I answer this question, I invite Councillor Pardaisy to withdraw it. Thank you. I gave you the opportunity, Councillor Pardaisy, to withdraw the question because you state no effort was made to involve Littleworth Borough Councillors in plans to declare a local nature reserve. That statement has been made in writing in public. Can you recall the email that you received on the 28th of September of last year? Can you recall the email that you received on the 3rd of February of this year? Can you recall the email that you received on the 14th of April this year, all in relation to that matter, all addressed to you as a Littleworth Borough Councillor, that suggests to me that you were being informed about the local nature reserve, yet you put this question in public at a council meeting. I gave you an opportunity to withdraw the question quite properly, and you intended on suggesting that you have not been informed or kept aware of progress, and I have given you at least three examples of occasions when you have been informed of progress in relation to that as a Littleworth Borough Councillor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Podesi,
please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I first inquired about this local nature reserve when I first noticed it on one of our work programme tables.
This is a supplementary question.
Well, I am challenging our leader on what he's just said about including and involving me in the plans. When I initially contacted the Borough Council, when I noticed something about a landmark in Littlewood, when I initially contacted the council and specifically asked, are we talking about the land across the road from the Kingston Centre, I was told yes. In fact, it wasn't that land, it was the land across the street.
Mr. Mayor, is there a question for you?
Is it a question?
Well, is the council
why was I not involved and informed and told the truth from the start? And this, Mr. Mayor, isn't the only example where my residents are having things done to them instead of with them.
The question's been put, Mr. Mayor.
The question's been put now. Thank you. Councillor Ken.
I've got a question. To the leader of the council, when did you last visit your doctor to have your blood tested? Because the way you're going on, you'll soon have a heart attack. I've never seen, for many years, an attitude that you seem to have when talking to young members of this council. It's disgraceful.
I'm very grateful for Councillor Kent asking after my health. The reason that I asked Councillor Pardesi to withdraw her question is that I gave three examples subsequent to her refusal to withdraw it, upon which she was involved and consulted. That is why, Councillor Kent, I became irate at the suggestion that she hadn't been included as a Littleworth Borough Councillor. And I quite properly gave her the opportunity to withdraw the question. And so, in relation to the discussion in this chamber, I have absolutely no difficulty in discussing matters pertinent to the business of the council. But what I will not accept is a suggestion that things have been done or haven't been done when quite clearly the opposite is true. And in the answers I gave to Councillor Pardesi, it is very clear that she was involved and consulted in relation to that matter. And that is why, as I explained, my attitude hardened towards giving the response. This debate this evening has been about nothing but being found out about failing to properly engage in this process, and the responses that have been given on previous occasions by this administration, both here and at Cabinet and elsewhere, in my opinion, and everybody is entitled to their opinion, but I would say that it clearly illustrates that we are engaged in this process towards trying to develop a coherent and responsible climate change strategy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It is a question. Does the leader of the council think that his council should take part in debates in a respectful manner?
Do you wish to reply to that, Councillor Farrington?
I challenge Councillor Godfrey to suggest in what manner I have been disrespectful. I have been factual, yet assertive in the responses that I have been giving.
Councillor Lockyer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that at least it's pleasing to see that the leader of the council has to do it, that he has to lead. I would have thought that someone in his position would have been able to control his temper and answer questions with civility. That's all we expect of him, is civility. And I think that councillors have the right to make the point that either they feel or their constituents feel that they are not being consulted and they are not being involved. And that's the crux of the matter. People here have feel that they are not being involved. I have already said to you that this administration is in fact ruled by a cabinet of six, three of whom have carried
councillors. I was instructed that it is appropriate for Councillor Godfrey to speak
as a seconder on the subject, but as it has financial implications, then of course it has to be referred to Cabinet before it can be debated at Council. I don't believe we're going into a debate on that subject this evening.
At your discretion, you can allow a short speech to clarify why Councillor Godfrey is seconding it.
Well, I think that's being done, so thank you, Councillor Godfrey.
So I can't say it all.
Well, if it is short, yes.
How short is short?
Just to finish off, I mean, I do wonder where the extra budget is going to come from, and the budget at the moment is looking so dicey. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We now move on to the reports. Councillor Price, have you given item 8?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Just concerning when I hear people talk about the ballot, they feel we haven't engaged with them, or there's been no form of consultation, or we haven't taken any information when it comes to our climate change agenda. I've looked at the 48-page document that we have when we went out in consultation on our climate change strategy and the amount of external groups that got in touch and fed into that. That was then fed into what was our strategy, and this is how formed part of the work we're now doing, hence the update we're having today. So we're working really hard with our communities at the moment. I mean, people need to be aware that the Borough Council is doing this work for the Borough Council to try and support our partners as well, but at the end of the day, it is everybody's responsibility, and I see these action groups that are pushing for the Borough Council to be able to do the work we are doing on climate change, but it isn't just our sole responsibility, it is our partners, it's the County Council, it's larger businesses that are out there as well, and they are being lobbied by our groups, and I am aware of this. So, we've all done our bit. And as part of that, I bring to you today our Climate Change Agreement Recovery Progress Report. The Council has recognised that it has an important role in responding to the threat of climate change. In response to this, formulated a Climate Change and Green Recovery Strategy that was approved before Council in November 2020. This strategy detailed how we would reduce emissions from our own activities, which is in line with our climate emergency declaration. And incidentally, I am a county councillor, and I don't know why, you know, this members are saying you're so concerned about climate change and the work that we're doing, but you can't even get the date right to why our fellow councillors is doing. You assume it's 2035, it's 2050. We are ahead of the game. I'd like to remind everybody that for the past 18 months we have been dealing with a serious global pandemic, and this is the reason that the implementation of the strategy was delayed. During this time, all of our offices have gone over and above to make sure that vulnerable residents and businesses were and continue to be supported. And I know this council was full of praise for the work they undertook helping our communities. Despite this, I'm very pleased with the progress that the Council has made since the strategy was approved by this Council in late November 2020, and I'd like to highlight a number of things that we've progressed in the past 8 months. We've appointed a full-time Corporate Climate Change Officer who has been working in the Corporate Business and Partnership team on a full-time basis since June. This is a key appointment, and the Council demonstrates our commitment to this important agenda. We've appointed a full-time Corporate Climate Change Officer who's been working in the Corporate Business and Partnership team on a full-time basis since June. This is a key appointment for the Council. One of our main areas of focus has been to try and understand our carbon emissions, and that has been alluded to earlier by other members. We have commissioned a carbon audit that was completed in May of this year, and the report provides an overview of our carbon emissions by area of operation. We want to reduce our carbon emissions as much as possible, but at the same time, we need to be pragmatic as we recognise that some of our services will continue to produce some emissions. In order for us to achieve our net zero commitment, we are currently investigating options for carbon sequestration, removing carbon from our atmosphere. Whether carbon emissions cannot be reasonably reduced any further, for example, by planting more trees. We have already mentioned that we are planning to undertake tree planting on our new designated local nature reserve on Fairway. For the past 6 months, the council has been working in partnership with Keele University, and the leader mentioned this earlier. The Keele University has the Centre for Alternative Technology and local authorities across Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent. The partnership is taking a collaborative, problem-solving, systematic approach, and to experiment and learn and make sense of what is required in order for us to achieve our vision of carbon neutrality. In addition to this, we've already mentioned that the work is underway to set up a small panel of community representatives to work with us to support the development of Climate Change Pledge and information packs for residents in line with the Sustainability Staffordshire Initiative being run by Staffordshire County Council. We will always want this group to support and be advocates of our approach to community engagement and to work with communities and with all our elected members. We will also undertake a comprehensive risk-based assessment of vulnerabilities of weather and climate and identify the priority risk areas for the council. And this will be utilised to refresh our local climate impact profile, which is nearing completion. As I previously mentioned, I'm very proud of the work that our officers have done and of what they have achieved in an extremely short space of time. And I ask that the progress against this work stream is noted by this council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Godfrey, do you wish to
position as a secondary?
Oh, sorry, is it secondary first?
Councillor.
Oh, sorry, Councillor.
I put my hand up before
Councillor. Your word indeed, yes. Councillor Cook.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I do hope that my remarks are not going to give the leader of the council apoplexy. They're not intended to. Mr. Mayor, one could argue that really this paper, this matter, should have gone to a scrutiny committee rather than coming here. And the scrutiny committee could have invited all other members to it. There would have been far more time for debate. People would have had longer to make their points. We could delve into things in greater detail. We wouldn't have been constrained by time. And it would be a much, much more useful process, I would suggest. In short, we would be able to scrutinize this paper. Now, we could also have invited the environmental groups along as well, representatives of the publicity, the local press, and so on. I do hope that the controlling group will consider this idea for next year, so that we could have a scrutiny committee with an invitation to all the council. I think we'll have a much more useful debate and scrutiny of the issues. Mr. Mayor, I'm also concerned about that everything bar one item in this paper is to be done within existing resources. Have we got so much money? Have we got so much time to do all this as well as all the other commitments or the services that we provide? Will they suffer as resources are transferred to climate change, and they should be, presumably, but without any extra resources? If more money is required, how is it to be made available? Where is it going to come from? Reserves? Council tax increases? Higher fees and charges? The paper is somewhat silent on that, but it is going to be a nettle that's going to have to be grasped by someone, or by one group or another. As for the paper itself, and I'm being a bit mischievous here, I suppose, it's okay as far as it goes, but not that much seems to have happened since 2019. Now, being charitable, Mr. Mayor, as I usually am to the controlling group, I realise, I've got a smile on some, and I'm good. I do realise that we've had to cope with COVID. I'm realistic about that. But I wonder whether we couldn't have appointed staff to deal with climate change well before June 2021. After all, we went through this in 2019. Surely a couple of extra pairs of hands would have been invaluable during this period to help out, to help these existing officers to make a bit more progress. Now, when I was reading this paper, Mr. Mayor, I felt the hand, not of history, on my shoulder, but I felt an icy hand on my shoulder. And who should it be but the ghost of Sir Henry Appleby? And as he was peering at the paper along with me, he had a broad smile on his face, and he kept murmuring, "Exquisitely, exquisitely bureaucratic," right up my street. He delighted in the mention of strategies, partnerships of all sorts, audits, action plans, delivery plans, information packs, targets, various committees and a panel, risk-based assessments, impact profiles. It even included a reference to Malone Associates, whoever they are. I presume they're some part of the Irish Mafia, but I don't know. It wasn't explained in the paper. So, Mr. Mayor, the pace seems a bit leisurely. One can understand that to some extent because of COVID. But I do hope that the next progress report in 2022, in that I do hope there is much, much more meat in terms of practical work being done to lower emissions, both by this council and in the borough generally. Mr. Mayor, I'm now running out of time now because we are limited in time as it's a council meeting. I've taken a broad view of this. I haven't gone into the details. There are lots of details we could actually deal with, tease out. But I do hope that other people will use their times to go into those details. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, Mr. Mayor, I do share my colleagues' concerns regarding the funding. The Sutherland Council budget, as we know, is Council Smith, I'm sure, will tell the Council. In about 18 months' time, we'll be looking at a little bit more open than we're looking at the monuments. So, and also, I think my colleague also mentioned we'll be looking at the Council tax. Well, actually, the Council tax is going up by the maximum anyway, just to keep our heads above water. So, any extra funding, actually, it baffles me where that's going to come from. The only thing I can think of, as Councillor Cook pointed out, is taking funds from other parts of staff up on the council, maybe streets, maybe planning. So that is a concern. I'm still very concerned after this debate, although perhaps I should have been persuaded, but I haven't been, that 2040 is a bad idea. 2030 we should be working to, and even then, that is far too late, probably. We're in a terrible mess globally. Anybody who watches the news can see the wildfires around the world, the flooding around the world. This is the biggest problem that the world has had to face for millennia. It's a real crisis. And those of you with very good memories, you may remember about 25 minutes ago, I actually mentioned, would people up to 35, young people, like the way this debate's going and how this council is reacting and having a carbon neutrality target of 2040. Well, I think we all know the answer to that. Most young people wouldn't like it. And today I was disturbed most days, but today I was particularly disturbed because I saw sight of a report. And that report actually said, I'm sure some of you have seen it as well today, that one in two children and young people say they are worried about climate change. And that's fair enough. But it's having a negative effect on their daily lives, and they're frightened for the future. Frightened for the future. We're old. You know, we're thinking to ourselves, it's going to bother us, it's going to bother them, and we really should be thinking about younger people. This administration, I'd like the leader to confirm that they're doing all they can to try and get this authority carbon neutral and become a leader to get other companies, businesses, organisations around the world to be carbon neutral as well. And to work harder to work with environmental organisations within the borough, and opposition parties, because quite frankly, what I've heard tonight doesn't help. We've had arguments where we should all be agreeing, we're all living on the same planets, we should all be pulling in the same direction, and we should all be working together. If we don't, goodness knows what the consequences will be. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Pearce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to welcome the positive measures that have been taken thus far. It's good to see that the Council is working with agencies such as the Centre for Alternative Technology, King University, and obviously the new plan is starting to emerge. Having said that, obviously there are things that I want to draw attention to. First of all, finance. We talked earlier about the need to allocate resources. Now, I appreciate that the government isn't helping. The government is not giving the sort of resources to local councils that are needed in order for them to tackle climate change. And this is something that's generally acknowledged. I also regret the lack of detail about what specific measures the council itself is going to take, or indeed targets by which measures will be achieved. I think that's the sort of nitty-gritty that we need. I also want to mention one or two things which have happened in the past, which either are not happening or not happening to the same extent. We used to have green awards. They have stopped. We now have community awards. Our community awards are good, but green awards specifically rewarded organisations and businesses for the work they were doing to tackle climate change. We don't do them anymore. We had a newsletter, I think it was called News, but I could be wrong there. But it was a regular newsletter for anyone who was interested in climate issues and sustainability. And it was for all Stafford Borough residents. That doesn't happen. The Eco Schools programme was a great success, but it was put on ice to some extent for a while. I believe it is still being maintained. But if we really want to reach out into the community, then schools are an ideal way to do that. I want to echo something that's been said earlier about working on a cross-party basis. Now, I was invited to join a group that was set up to look at how we can best commemorate those who died through COVID in Stafford. I know that's been a really constructive exercise. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the last meeting, but people were working together on an issue that faces us all in a very constructive way. And I think this is the way we should be tackling the whole issue of climate change and reducing poverty. And finally, I just want to mention that in the report which we approved last year, a great deal was mentioned about green recovery, that this is what the council will be promoting. But I don't really see a great deal of evidence at the moment of green recovery. I know that we are offering financial assistance, for example, people to set up businesses, but it could be any business. And why don't we instead say, well, we'll give support, or indeed extra support, to those who are setting up businesses which will help to achieve reduction in carbon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Holt.
We know that the council officers have been working very hard to tackle COVID in the borough. But so far, all we can see in the climate change and green recovery plan are words. There have been no tangible changes to any housing requirements to reduce carbon consumption, despite a proliferation of housing in the borough. There's no strategic plan yet for planting trees and hedges. There's still no action plan for the borough, but a promise to write one. Possibly the climate change officer should have been appointed back in 2019. If we don't cut carbon emissions by 50% in the next 10 years, the results will be catastrophic for everyone, including the residents of Stafford. The ideas are there, we need to get going now. We need action more than words. And we must not dismiss local activists. They are people who are very well informed and they are very worried. This is an emergency, just like COVID, and should be treated as such. Thank you.
Councillor Edgeworth.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Within this meeting past the meeting tonight, we've talked a lot about council finances. Might I suggest that the opposition put forward an alternative budget so we can move forward with their ideas? Thank you.
Councillor Beattie.
I've heard obviously all the things that have been said, and this particular paper, the Climate Change and Green Recovery Delivery Plan, I see as the beginning, it's a skeleton of what is being done across the board. In the case of the Development and Planning Department, I'd like to pick out 4.1.4, just to give you an example of how the work is being developed across the various departments of Borough Council. And this one says all major developments deliver 10% biodiversity net gain to support the Borough's Nature Recovery Network. There's been a lot of discussion about the fact that the Borough doesn't consult. The opportunity is there and going to continue to be there for the next 12 months for the public and for members to make their input into the local plan. And the local plan is going to deal very much in detail with the important matter of major development and how it presents in terms of rebuilding. What we will be looking for is efficient use of water, energy and other resources as well, the use of renewable energy such as solar, pollution and waste reduction resort measures, and reuse of recycling, which we all know about anyway. I go on this, that we need good environmental quality both for people and for the environment itself, that we use ethical and sustainable materials. All of these things are going to be under consideration and could well be, if the inspectors allowed, that these will be part and parcel of the plan for Stafford as it goes forward over the next 20, 30 years. We have to be adaptable, we have to consider the quality of life of our occupants, the design of our environment. All of that is going to give an opportunity for the development of green businesses. So where there's been a great deal of discussion again about the lack of resources, and the what will be debated at Cabinet, which is the money that's available for the business development, just bear in mind that there is a complete new industry in the offing, which will be a carbon-friendly industry, and we need to push ahead to develop that as well. So I'm hugely optimistic about all of this. I don't believe that the Gator Senator see doom and gloom in the next 30 years. We need to do something about it, but the opportunity is there, we shall do it.
Councillor Price.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Price will be at the end of the debate. But he has the right to reply at the end of the debate.
Yeah. Councillor Burton, that way.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to take this evening's debate in a slightly different direction and raise four broad points. First of all, at Cabinet last week, we brought forward the Home Energy Conservation Report. And that, to me, was a very good example of embedding in the organisation, in the Borough Council, climate change so that it is inherent in everything that we do. And I think it's very easy to point to the small bits and actually ignore the fact that we have embedded the importance of climate change and reducing our emissions so that it is clearly part of our corporate plan, part of our corporate priorities, but at the same stage, part of everything that this organisation does. The second point I want to make was to pick up a point about COVID. I actually do want to thank the officers and those active members for everything that they did during the last 18 months to ensure that we got through the COVID pandemic, something that has been unique in the last 100 years. And it's very easy now that we've all been double jabbed to forget about it, but actually I don't forget about it, and it is still just round the corner. And I think we should thank our officers and members who were active for the work that they did during the last 18 months. But at the same stage, I also want to thank the Cabinet member for the work that he and officers, and obviously thank officers at the same stage, for bringing forward this report, because I think it's really important that we place a flag in the sand which demonstrates a path and a direction of travel. I think we have demonstrated, whether it is through the Fairway scheme, whether it is through the work that is being done on the new local plan to embed various things in terms of modern methods of construction, whether it's about sustainable communities, whether it's about all those sorts of things. And it is very easy for us to get into the detail of the hand-to-hand fighting in the trenches and forget the strategic picture of what else is going on across the organisation. But I do want to thank the officers and the Cabinet member for the work that's been done. The third point I want to make was it's very easy to reference finances, and it has been said several times tonight about finances, and absolutely right, local government finances are tight, and that's an understatement. And this council will continue to do everything it can to not affect frontline services so that we can put money into those areas that are our priorities and the priorities of our residents, and that includes clearly climate change. But we can't then keep looking back and saying, oh yes, but we used to have green awards. Well, actually, we can put green awards together with community awards because we've embedded the two lots within the organisation. Let's move forward, please. Newsletters. Actually, there are other ways of delivering this, partially by getting people to read some of the council reports or attend some of the council meetings that we have. You know, eco-schools. I can understand when a school isn't working, why that's not happening. Come on, guys, we've got to move forward. Let's work collaboratively, participatively together. The last point I want to make links to that, which is I went to a Western Power Distribution meeting today to look at what they are going to do as a key player in climate change over the next 20 years, to embed that in their strategic plan. I have to mention that I was the only councillor there from Stanford Borough Council today, influencing their 20-year plan. But my point is really a simple one, not that I was there, my point is a simple one. Climate change is about what we all do, not about the words we say in a council chamber, but the tangible differences that we make within our communities and within the wider community of Stanford Borough. And I would encourage councillors to please remember that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor McNaughton.
Thank you, Mayor.
Given the leader of the council has repeated at every opportunity this evening their commitment to carbon reduction and neutrality, could the Cabinet Member for the Environment bring to our next full council meeting the plans and targets for the implementation of electric charging points and Stafford Borough Council car parks and other lands suitable for such points? Otherwise, won't all the groups who fed into the climate and green recovery report just argue this administration is only paying lip service to the environmental issues? Thank you.
Councillor Whittington.
Mr. Mayor, could I first put an interest in before I start? I'm a grower of energy crops, which means that we actually sequester carbon into the soils. That's my bit towards the bigger picture. Something like 350 tonnes this year we've managed to work on. I was quite saddened to hear from the opposition that while they are sort of backing the fact that we need to carbon, they're very concerned about the financial cost. And they almost seem to be taking a little bit of glee in the fact that as things get tighter, the thing that we're going to put back on is climate change. Now, I personally don't think that climate change and carbon reduction should be a single line on the budget. I don't feel that it should be something that we have to go into the accounts about. I do feel, as Councillor Purter said, that this should be not a golden thread, but a green thread that goes through everything that we do as a council. I also think it's important that residents, we've got residents and groups at the back, it's down to all of us. It's not just down to the councils to do it. Every single person should be doing it. When you get your phone with lithium batteries or your car with lithium batteries, think about what we're doing, because it's not a simple thing to do these things. And I feel that Stafford Borough is important as a green ambassador, and I know talking to other members in the group, we are all concerned about it. I'm sure the other side of the chamber, if it was a chamber, again are really concerned about the future for our youngsters, for my younger sons and their offspring and their offspring's offspring, because that's who it's going to affect ultimately. But I do feel, as Jeremy quite rightly says, as far as Stafford Borough Council is concerned, this is a corporate responsibility. And when I say corporate, it's not about the cabinet, it's not about the opposition, it's about all of us as councillors. We should all be doing our bit to reduce carbon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Whittington for that comment. I'd also like to thank Councillor Beattie and Councillor Purr for their views on the strategic nature of this problem, which I think we all agree is a worldwide problem. It was said, I think, that things have not been done. Well, in my area, all the old people's bungalows have got solar panels for Stafford and Rural homes. I've got solar panels, in fact, my electricity bill's negative. I've built, I live in a house which has got solid walls. I took the outer skin off, I've made it a cavity. I've done aughts myself. And you do have to wonder what everybody else has done. Earlier tonight, we had a decision that we should reply to the questions in writing. Each letter contributes 140 grams of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Three letters, it's a jam jar.
If every person in the world sent one less thank you email, that would supply the diesel for 3,000 cars or 81,000 flights from Heathrow to Madrid. The internet the carbon footprint of the internet is higher than the aviation industry. But what I want to say, Mr. Mayor, is that 2.5 years ago, I held this envelope, which is the envelope you get your council tax bill in. Everybody, on the back of it, it says, please, on your council tax bill by email. 2.5 years ago, I said that, Mr. Mayor. 7 members of this council have agreed to do that, and I know 6 of them are Conservatives. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could add to what the House of Lords has said about the Welsh Car Commission. In Stafford car parks in the centre of the town, Stafford Council provide 2 pods at the civic offices for the charge of electric cars. Those 2 in recent times have been under commission. They provide 2 at the Windmill car park, and they don't provide any other ones in Stafford Council's car parks in the centre of the town. There are other provisions in the centre of the town where they are provided by private providers of car parks. In Stone, the Borough Council provide no parking park spaces with electric pods. Could I ask that the Cabinet Member gives some immediate attention to the provision of these pods in our Borough Council car parks, please? Many of the businesses in the town, as I have already said, do provide pods, but members of the public visiting Stafford Town Centre can't really charge their electric cars. There's also been a lot of talk tonight about our new LNR in Fairway. I did go to visit the car park in Fairway, and this car park we were told about that the Borough Council was providing in Fairway, a fairly new one, it's for permit holders only. There are no electric pods there. And as I say, it's for permit holders only. And if you go and visit Fairway, Fairway is actually full of cars parked because the owners of those cars don't have a permit and they have no intention of buying a permit. I think it's time the Borough Council also looked at the charging for the car parks and realise that people are not going to pay and buy permits to park the car so far away from the town centre. You really ought to be looking at all aspects of your green policy and not just at ones that are very obvious to you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Pedetti, I'll be next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I heard several times this evening about money being tied to the pen budgets or whatever. And sitting here, I've thought of 3 ideas just like that to save our government and consequently this council. How about not getting involved in needless wars that make us more unsafe? That would save us billions. How about a fairer tax system? Closing the loopholes for those who are avoiding tax, hiding money abroad, the real sponges of this country.
Could we have a reference to this time, please?
Okay, and my last suggestion for saving money and using it to save the planet, Chair, is to scrutinise contracts when they're given to ministers' friends.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to answer the point about the charging points. I don't think it's something to wait for the next council meeting. I think we can give a written response on that. The simple answer is that the intention is to put charging points in all the car parks, not the old ones that we've got now, but they will be the high-speed charging points. And that's all part of the budget, I have to tell you. So money comes into it again. The other thing about that is that it will be one of those things that we would be looking to developers to include in all new housing, for instance, because it's not just the local authority that has charging points. And I believe all the supermarkets now have got a number of charging points in the car park, so that when people go into the supermarket, they can park their car for a period. It takes time. It actually is quite costly to install these charging points, and it will be rolled out as fast as possible. I think we're aware of the ones that were ready now, but be aware that the new ones will not be slow chargers. They'll be fast charging. You'll be able to charge up to a reasonable level within about half an hour, I'm told. But I think it's such a sensible thing, Chief Executive. We'll ask for a report to go out to all members, just explaining the current situation.
I don't have anyone else indicating they wish to speak on this, so we'll go back to Councillor Price.
Thank you, Lonnie. I believe that we've covered this in great detail now. And therefore, I would like to ask for the progress being made by this council. And some more final points as well. Councillor Cook, I suspect that goes to Jacob Marley, and it would probably be mistaken.
Couldn't hear that, Mr. Mayor. He needs to speak closer to his microphone. I can't hear him.
We'll take a vote on this now. It's been proposed and seconded. Those in favour?
Aye.
Any against? That's carried. Item 9 is the revised taxi licensing policy and licensing conditions 2020. Councillor Price, again, are you moving this?
Yeah, apologies, Mr. Mayor. At this time, the present taxi policy and licensing conditions 2020 were approved by council in this council in September 2020. The Department of Transport, the DFT, had just published its document on the statutory taxi and private hire vehicle standards. As there was very little time to include those standards in our proposed policy and conditions going to council, a decision was taken to continue with the consideration of our public and taxi licensing policy and the license conditions 2020. So as to avoid any undue delay in the implementation, this was partly important as the proposed policy and conditions contain several changes to the benefit both taxi drivers and their customers, including changes surrounding the extended the life of these vehicles. The Department for Transport document on the statutory taxi and private hire vehicle standards was being produced as there is evidence to support the view that taxis and private hire vehicles are a high risk environment. In terms of risk of passengers, this can be seen in abuse and exploitation of children and vulnerable adults. And although the focus on these standards is on protecting children and adults, all passengers will benefit from the recommendations within it. These standards are therefore focused on safeguarding, including extensive advice on checking the suitability of individuals and operators to be licensed. The intention of their introduction is to establish a consistent standard and regulate better the taxi and private hire vehicle section across the country, and are the result of detailed discussions with trade, regulators, and safety campaign groups. These statutory taxi and private hire vehicle standards reflect the significant changes in the industry and lessons learned from experience in local areas since the 2010 version of the DFT's best practice guidance. The initial changes made to the Council's policy and conditions 2020 are in red. And those that are in blue, are changes made to the policy conditions 2020 as a result of Council's consultation, which took place between the 14th of June and the 16th of July this year. considerable amount of the standards have already been introduced within the Council's current policy and conditions 2020, but the following have also now been included. And I know I've gone into a bit of detail on this, Mr. Mayor, but it's a really important document, and I do wish to just give members a little information around that as well, if you don't mind. So, the new requirements for the disclosure borrowing service, DBS checks, which means mandatory sign-up to the online bodleg service to enable the licensing team to regularly check the status of drivers every 6 months to ensure that there have been no unreported incidents that the council would need to be made aware of and ensures the protection and safety of the public. As a DBS service cannot access criminal records held overseas, only foreign convictions that are held on the police national computer may be subject to the disclosure rules be disclosed. Therefore, it is now a requirement to applicants for a license to provide whether possible criminal records, information or a certificate of good character, whether there have been periods of living or working overseas. The same applies when an applicant has previously spent an extended period, 3 or more continuous months outside the UK. This will provide a complete picture of an individual's history, that's extremely important. Sign up to the MR3 register of the Local Government Association Commission for the National Anti-Fraud Network to develop a register of taxis, private hire vehicles, vehicle driver license refusals, and revocations. A new robust complaint system for customers has been devised to ensure that a pattern of behaviour by drivers or reprobators can be recognised, which enables licensing to establish whether they are fit or proper to hold a license. Including a UK web page for an appropriate link and guidance has been devised to make it clear and easy for customers to report any incidents. A complaint sticker has been devised to be placed and displayed on the rear side windows of each licensed vehicle, which will be issued to all drivers for display and will remain mandatory. This contains a QR code which directly puts a customer through to the appropriate form for any reporting processes. Operators must also create a suitable complaint procedure through which they will record and subsequently investigate all complaints made in relation to any driver or vehicle which is operated by them. The complaint procedure must also record the outcome of any investigation. More onus has been placed on private hire vehicle operators to ensure the licensing authority will ensure that they are granted the private hire vehicle operator's license and also pose no threat to the public and no links to serious criminal activity. Although operators may not have direct contact with passengers, they are still entrusted to ensure that the vehicles and drivers used to carry passengers are appropriately licensed and so remain for the safety benefits of the driver license regime. In essence, they now have become more accountable and responsible, which includes having a written policy on employing ex-offenders and are required to keep the register of all staff that will take bookings or dispatch vehicles, and that all staff are suitable persons to undertake work requires dealing with sensitive personal information and maintaining the customer's confidentiality. This also includes undertaking basic DBS checks on any individual added to the register. And I'd like to thank the officers as well, including Robert Simpson, Tracy, Julie Wallace. Apologies for all the hard work that's gone to this document. And therefore, I'm pleased to present the revised tax and licensing policy and license conditions 2020 for members' consideration and for adoption. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Pardesi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, in my opinion, since this policy was last presented to us, there have been some significant positive changes to it. I'd like to thank the officers involved in putting together this report and this policy, and I would urge anyone this evening to support it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Bird, do you not wish to come back on that? Then we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour?
Aye.
Any against? Moving on, item 10, COVID memorial proposals.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, when this matter first came before the council, I was pleased to propose the setting up of a cross-party working group. I want to read paragraph 3.1 because I think it beholds us to consider what COVID is. So the COVID-19 pandemic has had and continues to have a huge impact on the lives of residents living in the borough. The scale and effects of COVID are different. The knock-on effects are vast, especially for people who have lost loved ones and for those who are living with long COVID. And since we had the original debate and since the committee has been set up and met, I'm pretty sure that all of us in this chamber know of someone or either a friend or a close relative who have been affected by this dreadful disease. And sadly, it still prevails throughout the world, and it would appear that we have to have measures in place for some time yet. So I'm glad that the committee have met and the detail suggested comes up with three proposals. And so at this point, Mr. Mayor, perhaps it would be appropriate for me to invite the chair of that working group, Councillor Phillips, just to say a few words.
Councillor Phillips.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Leader, for presenting this document for consideration by council members. I'm very proud to have chaired the COVID Memorial Working Group, and I'd like to sincerely, and I do mean sincerely, thank all of those involved. We've worked together as a cross-party group, along with Dr. Tracy Redpath and fellow officers, to put forward the carefully considered proposals that you see before you. We've all been impacted by COVID in very different ways, and the way that we've dealt with the changes that COVID has brought to our lives has been very personal. We've experienced the passing of loved ones without the opportunity to celebrate their lives. We've missed the births and weddings of those closest to us and been unable to support those that we've always helped because of the restrictions and distance. Work was different, schooling different, shopping different, and the kindness and support of acquaintances and strangers became paramount to some residents to keep them safe during the lockdown. These unprecedented times needed a whole new approach to our daily lives. Thankfully, we're through the worst now, but we're still left with those mixed emotional memories. Our lives may have returned to more normal rhythms, but for some, the losses and experiences will remain painful for days and years to come. We were extremely conscious of this, and as a working group, we wanted to put forward proposals that could encompass everyone, all experiences and all types of memories, to find ways to celebrate the good and to allow us to reflect on our personal experiences and the lives of those that we've lost. Our thoughts through all our discussions were about how this can help our community move forward. We wanted to provide visual and physical proposals that will show our support for the individual experiences of residents and to give hope for the future. The physical spaces we proposed can serve as spaces for personal grief, for peace and reflection, for calm, quiet contemplation, and also be a beautiful visual reminder honouring those lost for generations to come. A memorial can also be a repository of memories encompassing all experiences and all age groups. We are trying to represent this by an online book of memories, and we hope that residents will upload or send in their own COVID stories and memories. Life during the pandemic has seen us experiencing both sorrow and the funny. All of these stories are important to share, to record and to preserve for now and in the years to come. So I'd like once again to thank all of those who contributed to the COVID Memorial Working Group, and I hope that members will vote to support the proposals that you have before you. Thank you.
Does anyone wish to speak in comments? Councillor Godfrey.
Mr. Mayor, very briefly, it's excellent working group. It's worked hard, and it's worked fairly, and hopefully the fruits of its labours will be appreciated for years and years to come. It's a terrible situation we find ourselves in. Hopefully there may be some lights at the end of the tunnel in the not too distant future, and we do need to put people's memories down in a book so people in the future can see what people go through here and there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for that, Marnie. It was a really lovely speech to sum it all up. I just wanted to ask a question, if that's all right. As the borough, personally, I think the borough's done a fabulous job on parks over the last sort of 5-6 years. And during lockdown, during this COVID period, I've had so many residents tell me how the park's been their saviour, it's been the best place to go, it's been a place that they can stop and think, relax and enjoy. And yet, I've noticed that parks aren't in here. There's no memorial to go to a park or a bench or a tree to go to a park. And I'm wondering if that was considered in this meeting.
Councillor Gordon,
Mr. Mayor, I don't know whether Councillor Phillips wants to provide a factual response to that question.
Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. If you would like, well, I would ask you to just check the proposals. We did actually discuss parks, we did discuss areas that we could look at, and it does actually say that we have areas of dedication and reflection across the borough, which would areas would include seating areas such as benches that could be installed in Stafford Market Square, Stone High Street, local nature reserves. We're looking at various areas, but parks and strategic places are ones that we're looking at anyway. So it is covered. We are conscious that we don't want to put benches in every area of the entire borough and really dissipate the meaning of the more memorials that we're actually trying to place.
Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've really enjoyed working on this working group and Marnie chairing the group. We have looked at parks, Oxbridge Park, Stonehill Park, and Victoria Park was mentioned. I'd just like to convey a very positive message that we began on a sad note and we then realised that the idea of the working group was to put forward many positive memories. And I told a story of one particular elderly lady who was talking to me about the war. And I suddenly realised the stories that I've heard and the history books that I've read, that war, you can see your enemy, but with COVID, you can't see your enemy, it's a silent enemy. And I think we've fought it remarkably well. And I asked her what her memory would be, her lasting memory, and with great glee she said, I finally got a shopping delivery slot for Tesco's. And I just thought, yeah, this is what it's all about, the very positive message. I know it's been a very sad time, a very testing time. We all relayed our experiences. My daughter couldn't graduate. She did graduate, but she didn't have the fabulous dress that she was hoping for in the celebration afterwards. My colleague, Councillor Kenny, he's only just seen his grandchild that was born during lockdown. And we've all got these stories. And sadly, some of us have lost people during the pandemic. And we do remember them.
But really, out of this COVID working group, we are looking forward to some of the stories that our residents are going to tell us that aren't about the death of their colleagues or their relatives, but some humour. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. As I say, thank you to Mom, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
No one else? Can we have a vote on this? All those in favour? Chair. That's unanimous. Moving on, it's the LGA Model Code of Conduct. Councillor Sutherland.
Mr. Mayor, thanks very much. Members, probably very appropriate to be discussing this tonight, actually. Model Code of Conduct. The role of councillors across all tiers of local government is a vital part of our country system and democracy. It's important that as councillors, we can be held accountable and that they all adopt the behaviour and responsibilities associated with the role. Our conduct as an individual councillor reflects the reputation of all councillors. The government indicates that they will respond to the recommendations made by a committee on standards and in public life. A significant recommendation was that the government introduce a legal sanction for the breaches of the code, i.e. suspension of the councillor in appropriate cases. They also recommended that the code apply to the councillor whenever they are acting in the public arena and not just when they're acting as a councillor. Currently, the law only applies the code to conduct occurring while acting in the official capacity as a councillor. The government would need to amend legislation to adopt these recommendations. The council already has a code of conduct in this. However, the adoption of the national code would ensure consistency across the county of the country and less confusion for those councillors who act in more than one authority. I propose and I ask the council to consider the recommendation by the Standards Committee on the 7th of July 2021, and the recommendation is that the council adopt the LGA Model Code of Conduct 2020 as set out in the report.
So seconded by you, Councillor Whittington.
Yeah, I've got a second to report and reserve the right to speak. Thank you.
Does anyone wish to speak? Do you wish to speak, Councillor Whittington? In that case, can we take the vote, please? All those in favour of accepting this?
Aye.
Item 12. The waiver of the 6 months, Councillor Tennant, or Councillor Kenny?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you can see, Councillor Green has attended the meeting at the end of March this year. Shortly after this, beginning of April, we went into hospital and did an operation, and we were there for nearly 5 months, or just over 5 months. About 10 days ago, and I just propose that we accept the recommendation.
Is that seconded by Councillor Godfrey? Does anyone wish to speak? Oh, Councillor Pallington.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I simply wish to express my sincere hope that Councillor Green recovers, and I do note in the report that he is, thankfully, it would appear, on the road to recovery, but I would ask that his group takes our best wishes in future. Thank you.
All those in favour? Thank you, Your Honour. Item 13, Committee Business Planning Reports. First one is resources. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, it's with great pleasure that I present the annual report of the Resources Scrutiny Committee for the approval of Council, and in doing so, Mr. Mayor, I wish to thank a number of people. Firstly, the officers, for all the work in terms of preparation and presentation of reports and responding to questions and comments over the year. And Cabinet members, you see, I've been charitable again, Mr. Mayor. So, thanks to the Cabinet members who've been coming along for, again, answering questions and fielding comments. And, of course, to all the members of the Resources Scrutiny Committee for the time and effort that they've put into scrutiny. Very grateful for that. And thanks, actually, to all of them for their good humour over the year as well, committee meetings. I'd also like to thank Andrew Bailey for his invariable tolerance and diplomatic skills when he's trying to cope with me. And I think, Mr. Mayor, because we're almost at the end, I want to propose a vote of thanks to David, because I think he's done more work than any of us this evening. So thank you very much, David.
That's David. You meant that David.
Is that second? All those who can make me accept and recall. Council Kemp on the Economic Development Report.
I must tell my report, Marsh, he's chaired very well. And willing to benefit my dear player at the moment. The committee's report is in front of you, and I have to say that one of the comments that I made, I'm sure the other chair people say, I want to buy one of these strings to keep my glasses on. The thing is that the committee, the business of the committee belongs to the members of the committee, and we have, in actual fact, discussed various things. One of the things on there, and I'm not going to go through them, is we're interested in the future High Street fund at the moment. The 106 money is very interesting to a certain person who has now enabled us to get it talked about on, I understand, on various committees, but this committee is working very hard, and I have to say I appreciate the involvement of all the members of the committee. Andrew Bailey has been mentioned already. I haven't seen him, but Jim's here to take that message back. Andrew organises a pre-meeting for me, and other officers take part in it. And I have to say, we were honoured, well, it's a funny word to use, by having a substitute officer who were allowed to sit at the table. I mean, he's the chief executive, so you couldn't tell me, like I do, one or two other members of the council, that I invite them to the meeting, to the table. But I do say that I'm very pleased with the work that my committee is doing, and I hope that I'm allowed to continue to be the chairman for at least another couple of years. So, bear that in mind. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much.
Do we have a second to do?
Second.
Yes, Catherine. All those in favour? And then again? Councillor Hood, Community and Wellbeing.
This is a little bit like when you won an Oscar and you're about to thank everybody, including your dog. It's been a very interesting year, and I've enjoyed chairing the group. I'd like to pay particular thanks to Tracy Redpath, who's done a remarkable job for us in committee, Robert Simpson, who is always available to speak on any of the subjects, and especially to Annie Bailey, who is always so kind and sets up meetings. But I think the winning award would go to Councillor Pert, who spoke on almost every single subject at the event, because I allowed him to. we've covered a wealth of subjects that you can see in 5.2 and 5.3, and I think we've been very thorough, and Emma Fulger has been an excellent officer when she took over from Bob Keane, but she's only done, I think, one or two meetings. So all in all, we've had a good year, and I think this council is excellent in the scrutiny that it puts forward, and I think I've been very kind to all sides of all councils in allowing them to bring up their very, very serious concerns, and sometimes there's a lot of humour injected. So I thank you, Mr. Mayor, for allowing me to speak on this.
Is that seconded?
Thank you, Chair Rich.
All those in favour, will you check on the board? Well, that concludes the items on tonight's agenda. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor, ladies and gentlemen, please come standing for the worship of Mayor of Staffordshire Borough, Councillor Tony Nixon.